in strategic places as protests. And we've seen something similar to this recently, thinking about the slow rate of change with authorities with regard to climate change, where school children gave up school for the day, picketed in our cities, and suddenly around us, towns and cities, authorities, municipalities, town councils are declaring climate emergencies. In this age of social media, it's almost as if posting something online can have more effect than casting your vote on election day. However, politicians, they have a popularity poll every 3 years called the general election, and they want the youth vote, so they're going to ride this populist wave. And we recognize that in many ways in our world, there are people who mistrust the politicians and the business people. They mistrust authority figures. And when we think about the authority of Jesus, we need to be mindful in our day, not everyone is going to be open or welcoming of such authority as Jesus claims. A few weeks ago, we began to look at how the chief priests and elders at the temple in Jerusalem approached Jesus, and they challenged him to present his credentials, and they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus, by his presence, by his teaching, by the way he came into Jerusalem, had challenged their authority. From their point of view, they had the tradition of the ancestors behind them, the tradition of the teaching of the rabbis, their position as priests and guardians of the Torah, the law, the God-given authority of the temple behind them. They felt quite important, and they wanted to put Jesus in his place. And so they must have been quite surprised when Jesus didn't quietly back down and back away, but instead put them on the spot about authority and how they responded to the authority of John the Baptist. So we considered this recently, and you can go to our website for the audio or study material. I'm not going to go over that again. Suffice to say, they couldn't answer Jesus. And because they couldn't answer Jesus, they revealed their own lack of authority. On this occasion, their challenge to Jesus' authority failed miserably. And then, for Jesus, when he ended his time on earth, he ascended into heaven, and just prior to that, he said to his disciples, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And this claim of authority was backed up many ways by what he said, by what he did, by who he was, in his teaching, in his miracles. And perhaps the best description of Jesus' authority is given by the Apostle Paul, who, writing about Jesus, said, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, powers, or rulers, or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." So that he might have the supremacy. Now, these claims regarding the supremacy of Jesus are astounding. It's saying he is God, the creator of everything, that he existed before all things, not only creating them, but continuing to hold them together, that all authorities and powers and rulers and thrones are accountable to him. Every king, every president, everyone who is in authority will have to give account to him for what they have done with the authority they are using. And Jesus' claims are so exceptional, so extraordinary, they're challenging and confronting to everyone, to us, to each individual, who will look at these and think about them. It's hard to understand the magnitude of all of this. As you begin to work through it, you discover that Jesus has the supremacy in everything, the supreme one, the supreme person, the supreme being, supreme in authority, supreme in power, supreme in truth, supreme in justice. He is God. And this is challenging. And it is confronting in an age where people don't want to accept external authority. Jesus is the supreme authority. He does not leave anyone, any one of us, any wiggle room to assert our own lowly, feeble expression of authority or power or truth or justice, however we might feel we have it. You see, the chief priests, with all the authority they thought they had, must have felt like the big fish as they came to see Jesus, but they didn't realize what a small pond they were in. And they didn't realize who this Jesus before them was. A bit like when I was driving home and my vision was limited and I couldn't see the hearse, I couldn't see the big picture. The most important part of that picture was hidden from my view. And I was drawing conclusions about the driver of the van based on wrong assumptions and limited information. And the elders in the temple either refused to see or did not for some reason see, perhaps willfully blind, they could not see who it was that was standing in front of them. But you know, it wasn't really hidden. It wasn't hidden then, and it isn't hidden now. Our God is a God of revelation. He reveals his truth, his presence, his character, his power in many ways throughout human history. We know this because there are times when he has spoken it into our own hearts, when something has quickened within us and we have known this is God speaking to us. Certainly, his presence, his character has been seen in many ways, revealed in the Bible, in the Old Testament, which the Jewish people had, the chief priests and the elders had, and the New Testament, which we have. The Old Testament, which they pored over and studied, which was proclaimed and taught in the synagogues and in the temples, and which we have every week preached in churches all around the world, all around the nation, which we can explore in our growth groups, and in which it is clearly seen the person of Jesus. God has not made this hard for us to discover. It's not hidden away in an obscure place, maybe in some cave hidden away somewhere, kept secret by a guardian who must only reveal it to the spiritual elite, the one or two people, maybe every 100 or 200 years who may find it. Nothing like that at all. You don't have to trek up mountains or search in the desert or look in the depths of the sea. This is in plain sight for everyone to know. And everyone to see and to understand. Jesus, the light of the world, obvious and clear. He said it, I am the light of the world. I have come into the world as light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. The light is shining. The light has been shining. The light continues to shine. Jesus' claims of authority are not without substance. They are real. Jesus claims authority over my life and over your life. Over my life and over your life. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So when we come to faith, when we put our trust in Jesus, something happens. Hold this thought in your mind for a moment. Your body is a temple. Your body is a temple. Now suppose, like in the Bible story, Jesus comes to that temple. How will you respond to him? Suppose, in a sense, the high priest of your ego comes to Jesus. What's going to happen? What's going to be said? Are you going to be like the elders in the temple in Jerusalem and challenge his authority? What are you doing here? This is my space. You have to respect my boundaries, my rights. Where's your authority over me? Or maybe you'll hide away in a corner and try to pretend he isn't there and that he doesn't have authority over you. Or will you come and bow before him and accept his authority? Will you allow him to sit on the throne of your life? Or will you challenge his right to be there and sit on that throne yourself? Now, how do we answer such questions? Notionally, with our minds, perhaps even with our hearts, we know the right answer to that question is to welcome Jesus, to humbly listen to him, to allow him to sit on the throne of our lives. After all, we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. But the honest way to answer this is to look back over the last week, maybe even just to look back yesterday, and see if you have been living, if we have been living under his authority, doing what we know he wants, being the people he calls us to be, or if we have simply been ignoring him and doing whatever we want. In this past week, have you read your Bible and prayed to foster your relationship with him? Have you attended a growth group to learn more, to grow in fellowship with other Christians? Have you allowed the fruit of the Spirit to flourish in your life? Or have you sort of put those to one side and not allow them to really flow and be part of you? What does the real evidence of your life say about who is in authority in your life in this past week? And then on the other side of this coin, knowing the reality of Jesus' supreme authority, we can have such wonderful, great confidence. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, so that in everything he might have supremacy. This knowledge and our relationship with Jesus, who has supremacy over all things, should lift our hearts, should lift our minds and lift our souls, should strengthen us, strengthen our resolve and our convictions. In the world around us, the voices of our age may shout, "There is no absolute truth." But the presence of God within us will tell us they are absolutely wrong. They may declare there is no God, but the Spirit of Christ, the authority of Christ within us, will tell us they are mistaken. They may say we are all accidents of nature and natural selection, and there's no meaning and no purpose, but Christ within us will tell us that is a lie. There is purpose, there is meaning. They may reason, since there is no God, I am the boss of me and I can do whatever suits me. But that is folly. And in a world and in a generation that promotes self and rejects God, the supreme authority of Jesus tells us otherwise. Not to listen to the things this world may be saying, but to listen and have confidence in the truth that Christ brings to us. The week past, we cannot change. The week we are stepping into, we can. So I encourage you, if you have not invited Jesus to be your Lord, then come to him in repentance and ask him to forgive you. And I encourage those of you who have invited Jesus to be Lord, allow him to be Lord. Recognize his supreme authority. Consider how that applies to the temple of your life. Draw confidence from him. Put your confidence in him. Find strength in knowing he is the supreme power, truth, and authority. And I close with these words that I read at the beginning of our service as we look forward to that day of his coming. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. Come soon, Lord Jesus. All this to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.